Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to Hollywood Crime Scene. This is Rachel Fisher.
Hi, this is Desi Jadikin.
Desi, let's start out by thanking our Patreon contributors. They donated over at patreon.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. And this week we had Monica, Martha, Constance, Anna, Christine, John, Kayla, Isaiah, Abby, Mandy, Tony, another Mandy, Sierra, and Melissa.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Rachel.
What the heck are you doing today?
Back in the heyday of the mid-2000s, when you had Perez Hilton, internet gossip sites were really thriving and hyper-focused on stars like Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan, a group of teens who were obsessed with the lifestyle of those young, rich, and infamous, especially the ones sort of famous for nothing, decided the easiest way to get the look in life was by stealing it from the stars they admired. Yes, Rachel. Today we are going to be talking about the group of teens from Calabasas known as the Bling Ring. They were also called the Burglar Bunch and the Hollywood Hills Burglars. And they plundered the closets of the wealthy elite in Hollywood for about a year from October 2008 until August 2009. Did you follow this story?
I mean, yes, I am very aware of the Bling Ring.
Okay. So this group consisted of seven teens and young adults. So two of them were in their late 20s.
Early 20s?
No, 26.
Is that really? Late?
Two of the guys were 20 in their like 20 to 27, 26 to 27.
I don't know why I assumed all of them were
well,
like...
Well, the main people were all teenagers.
Okay.
So the ringleader being a teen girl named Rachel Lee, who had a devoted underling named Nick Prugo. They were 18 and 17 at the time. Now, over the course of that year, they stole over $3 million worth of stuff, targeting over 50 homes, including homes belonging to Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Audrina Partridge, Rachel Bilson, Brian Austin Green, and Megan Fox. And they tried to rob people like Ashley Tisdale as well, but they fled when they discovered a female house guest was at her place. Now, these teens were on the prowl for luxury goods. They were looking for Chanel, Gucci, Tiffany, Burberry, like whatever fashion and fucking labels they could get their hands on. They stole everything to get the look that they wanted. They took clothes, shoes, handbags, accessories. They even took makeup, perfume, and underwear.
This was such a very specific, focused mission that they were on.
Oh, totally.
I mean, this is not like they just wanted stuff for cash.
No.
They literally just wanted...
They wanted the fucking look like a star or like a celebrity, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they did go for cash as well. They would scour handbags and pocketbooks for like cash that people had crumpled up and
right.
their like things. You know, I'm excited when I find a $5 bill in a coat pocket. It's like, whoa, free money. But they were finding like thousands of dollars in these celebrities like pocketbooks and coat pockets, etc. Now, a lot of people are obviously, when this case broke, there was tons of news stories about these teenagers being enthralled by this celebrity lifestyle and this need for money. The cop who was on the case, Officer Goodkin, he said that there was also a stalkerish aspect to the crimes. He said it may be a stretch, but it is wanting to wear somebody's clothes. How is that different than wanting to wrap yourself in their skin like that guy in Silence of the Lambs? Well, it's slightly different.
It's a little different.
But I get the idea. It's like they really wanted to be these people, and they felt like this was the easiest way to get there. Now, Prugo said that he and his accomplices never discussed the why. They just kind of did it. He says that he knows it sounds dumb, but he said that Rachel, who is the ringleader, just wanted the clothes. Like, she wanted to look hot and pretty. Like, that really was her driving force. And he just was following her. Like, he said he was in love with her like a sister. I have no idea what was really going on there.
In love like with sister.
Yeah.
In love like a sister?
Yeah, I loved her almost like a sister. So the thing I find most interesting about this case is it really does seem like almost an inevitable conclusion to the consumerism and celebrity obsession of that period.
Yes.
Like, it just seems like it was bound to end in this way, right? Like, it was just being constantly pushed. And it definitely still exists today, compounded by even greater social media use. You hear people talk all the time about wanting these lives they see on Instagram, et cetera.
No, I believe that since the, you know, celebrities have been in existence, people have obviously envied their lives. But as someone who was in their early 20s during this era, I mean, with the rise of those gossip blogs and, you know, it seemed like all the tabloids were really popular at this time too. And sort of
right.
a lot of what the tabloids, when they weren't just gossiping, they were sort of explaining where the celebrities got their clothes from,
yes.
where they got their expensive beauty treatments from.
So it made
from.
You feel like I can get this too. Like,
or I want this. This
yeah,
is something.
I want this. I think the difference between, like, let's say old Hollywood time, obviously that was very curated, what we got to see of celebrities. 80s, you know, that was like the National Enquirer. So we were seeing more stuff, but the internet just exploded that to like a next level.
Especially with independent bloggers.
Yes, absolutely. Because they were making people famous who weren't even actors.
Like, right.
So my main source for this book is called The Bling Ring. It is by a Vanity Fair writer named Nancy Jo Sales, who kind of did a big Vanity Fair piece on this when it was happening. I also watched the movie The Bling Ring by Sofia Coppola. That stars Emma Watson as one of their more infamous members, who was on the edge of her own burgeoning reality show success when she was arrested. Her name is Alexis Nears. I'm going to talk about her a little bit, but she's going to be our juicy topic for next week's episode, the conclusion. So there's a lot to get into.
This is a two-parter.
This is a two-parter. There's just too much. I couldn't get it all in, and I was literally driving myself crazy. And then finally I was like, no. I have to.
Well, Desi, that's great for me because I got a juicy book for my next episode.
Okay, good.
And it's a lot of info.
This one almost broke my brain. Okay. So let's get started. Rachel Lee, the ringleader of the group, lived in Calabasas with her mother. She was expelled from Calabasas High School and later attended Indian Hills High School, which was an alternative school for degenerates. Mm. We've all been there.
I've been there.
In the fall of 2006, she met a new student named Nick Prugo. They were both sophomores, and she quickly took Nick under her wing. Rachel is definitely the alpha in this duo, and Nick is borderline in love with her, as I mentioned earlier. He claims as a sister, but it seems pretty incestuous at times. Like in some of the robberies, they actually take showers together.
Oh.
Yeah, it's weird. Now, Nick has also been expelled from Calabasas High School for excessive absences. He describes his life as idyllic pre-junior high. He was shy, but he got along with his parents, and he had a burgeoning acting career. In 2003, he was cast as Kenny in a TV movie called Little Lost Souls, Children Possessed, about the exorcism of children whose parents believe them to be possessed by evil. I looked this movie up and I couldn't find it. But according to Nick, when he turned 14, he sort of got floored by emotional and mental health issues, which I think is pretty common. He had been diagnosed with ADHD, which he was prescribed Concerta for. He had anxiety issues and was given Zoloft for that. He also had depression, and some of these meds made him lose a ton of weight, so he got very skinny, and his self-loathing went off the charts, especially when he moved back to Calabasas after spending time in Idaho. Now, living in LA exasperated his feelings that he was unattractive in a city where everyone looks like a model or actress. Calabasas is a pretty wealthy area, even though it's sort of on the outskirts of LA. A lot of celebrities move there to kind of get more for their McMansion, more McMansion for their money, I think.
Well, and also it's secluded.
Yeah, it's secluded. Yeah. Have you been there? I have.
Well, yeah, I would say that I think Kardashians really put Calabasas on the
map. Well, I was going to say it became kind of reality TV central with the Kardashians, and Nick and Jessica Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson also lived there.
That's where they lived?
Yes.
Can I just say that a few years ago, I was at Thanksgiving and my niece, she doesn't live in California. She's actually my cousin's daughter, but she calls me Auntie. That's a whole other story.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, oh, you should go to college in LA and then we can like hang out and stuff. And she was like, I want to live in Calabasas. And I was like, why do you want to live in Calabasas? First of all, how do you even know about Calabasas? And she's like, well, that's where the Kardashians live.
I went to a mall there. There's like a famous mall that the Kardashians go to. And I was stuck there for some reason. And I was like, well, I'll just go to this mall and eat lunch or whatever. And it was just like this open air mall that had every shop. It was crazy. Now this is also, so like Calabasas High has a lot of wealthy kids from, including kids of famous people like Katie Cassidy went there. Eric Menendez went there back in the day. And Rachel, Jensen Karp, and Danielle Fishel went there. That's where they met.
What? Yes. Oh my God.
Yes. That's where they met. They said that they were like high school friends, that they went to Calabasas High together.
And then they reunited.
Yes. If you don't know, that's the Cinnamon Toast Crunch shrimp guy and Dakota. What's her name? No, Tacoma.
Topanga.
I don't know.
Okay. This is the perfect... This is the bridge between Gen X and millennial. Is it Gen X or we'll call Topanga Tacoma? And I love that.
Look, I would like to watch the alternative show set in Washington or whatever.
Dude.
Hey, I worked really hard this week. My brain is fried.
You know what? I'm going to call her Tacoma from
Look,
now on.
I know Topanga, but I don't know why I said Tacoma. Okay. Nick was relieved to get out of that super status conscious environment at Calabasas High and move over to Indian Hills, the school for the burnouts and fuck ups. Now, I say that with love. I am one of those people. Now, he said that Lee was the first person he felt like was his best friend. They became inseparable, constantly phoning, texting, all of that stuff. She was fashionable. People described her as spoiled and haughty. She had troubles of her own. She didn't get along with her mom, Vicky Kwan, who was a North Korean immigrant and owner of two of the centers of the tutoring company, Kumon.
Wait, she owned Kumon?
Yes.
Did you have to do Kumon?
No, but I always see that sign and want to make a joke about it.
Okay, I had a really close friend who did Kumon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I never did it.
I don't even think I was smart enough for Kumon.
Now, she also had a new stepfather who she hated. Her parents had gotten divorced earlier in her life, and her mom remarried in her early teens. Now, Prugo also has trouble at home. He is estranged from his parents, who are also like film and television related careers. So they have money. But they had a falling out because Nick started having these emotional problems, or whatever you want to say. He said that he and his new friend Rachel bonded over fashion because he liked fashion too. He liked clothes. He thought of himself as a stylish guy. They both dreamed of going to Fashion Institute of Design and Marketing Design and Merchandising in LA. And they were extra obsessed with it because some of the Hills girls went there and they loved reality TV, Rachel, and especially the Hills. I like the Hills too. Did you watch the Hills?
I didn't, but I was obsessed with Laguna Beach.
Okay. The Hills. I had a summer where I binged every Hills like in a week.
I mean, I know all the Hills cast members.
Of course. Yeah. Cause they're all from Laguna. Most of them are from Laguna Beach.
A lot of them are from Laguna Beach, but I mean, I wasn't like a Hills stan, but I have seen episodes of it.
You had never seen me happier than when Unwritten started playing. Beginning of every episode, I was literally like, it's starting. Like, even though I watched, like, I heard Unwritten literally like 100 times in that week. It's crazy. Like, when I hear that now, it's like Pavlov's dog or something. Like, I like all these serotonins rush to me. I was so into it. Now, throughout the 10th grade, Nick and Rachel were just a couple of carefree kids. They smoked weed, they hung out at Zuma Beach, they went to parties, they played beer pong. It was during that summer Rachel introduced Nick to her whole circle of friends, including Courtney Ames and Diana Tamayo. And he just had this sense of belonging. And since he was on the outs with his parents, this group became very important to him. He was very devoted to Rachel. He became her companion when they would hit the Hollywood nightlife scene. And he soon became addicted to drugs. And that led to him stealing from his parents, which created more turmoil at home. He also began a little circle of friends that were not attached to Rachel, in particular, two girls named Alexis Nerez and Tess Taylor. I'll get more into them a little bit later. And as I mentioned, they're going to be talked about a lot in the next episode, because during this period, they're on the verge of creating their own reality show with E! Television called Pretty Wild, that does get filmed. They have a whole season, and a lot of this takes place while she is going through this bling ring stuff. And that's why it needs its own episode, because there's too much juicy stuff with this chick. So this show focuses on the modeling careers of these two girls and their LA party lifestyle. The show eventually gets very criticized for their sexual antics because they're teenagers. And the family is just a wild one. Like, the mom is super new age. So it's a very crazy show. Anyway, the summer after 10th grade, things took a dramatic twist in Nick and Rachel's relationship when Rachel casually dropped that she had broken into neighborhood homes and stolen things. He was kind of like, okay. And then she asked Nick if he knew anyone that was out of town at that time. He did. It was a social media friend of his who was out of town for 2 weeks on a family trip to Jamaica. Lee was like, oh, you know, do you want to go rob that house? So she did it real casual style. And Nick said that he was kind of like, didn't want to do it, but he wanted to please Rachel. So he agreed to go rob this friend's house. Now, he was shocked when they went to the house late one night and she basically just walked right through an open door that was around the back. Like, people just did not lock their doors.
There was no security system?
No. And this is going to be a common theme, Rachel. So he said that he was in the house and he's like freaking out because we're in somebody's house, and she's just like lifting things up and like strolling around the house, touching things. So almost like too comfortable. He couldn't believe like how comfortable she was. At that first burglary in the Valley, he said that Lee found a box of underneath the bed that had $8,000 in cash in this box, which calmed him down. He said, he's like, we each got $4,000 and like, that isn't so bad. We didn't kill anybody. The next day they took that money and went shopping on Rodeo Drive. Now, that began a series of them doing what he called checking cars. Checking cars involved going around to cars like Mercedes, Bentleys, etc., other fancy cars in their neighborhood, and checking the handles to see if they were open. Then once they opened these car doors, they would take whatever was inside, including credit cards, cash, like whatever they could find. The next day they'd go shopping. He says, this is so this period, we'd go to Kitson.
Oh, oh my God. Does he? I used to shop at Kitson.
I mean, Kitson was
it
was during that period.
It.
Yes. So that's a Melrose boutique that all of these starlets went to, basically. Yeah.
Like, let me just tell you, I was like broke in the year 2007, yeah. But whatever money I had from my 9-to-5 receptionist job, it all went to Kitson.
Yes. It was so popular.
Yeah.
So he's like, we would walk in really stylized and beautiful and use our cards and no one would question us at all. Now, Prugo said at this time he was also developing a cocaine habit. So he really started not just stealing for fashion, but he also needed money to get drugs. But their life of crime was only just beginning. Much like it can with a drug addiction, it starts off small and then you're chasing that high. Like, they became addicted to stealing. They began breaking into more local homes. Nick was always tripping out, but Rachel would just, like I said, go through every coat pocket real like casual. Like, sometimes she would just lounge about and pretend that the house was hers.
Oh my God.
He began relying more and more on what made him confident during these burglaries, cocaine. Like, he needed the cocaine boost to have that confidence that Rachel kind of just had naturally. She's like probably a sociopath. After months of success, their confidence exploded and they decided to up the ante and began plotting to rob the people they most admired, celebrities. Now, the reason most of the victims that they would rob, as far as the famous people go, are female, is purely because Rachel wanted the clothes. Like, and the men they robbed, she wanted their girlfriend's stuff. Like,
right.
That was the reason why. So she was voted best dressed in high school, and she had an image to maintain.
And she came from money.
Yeah. They all kind of did.
Right.
If she liked a celebrity style, they became determined to steal that celebrity's clothes. So Rachel would eventually refer to their capers as going shopping. Like,
oh,
that's how
God.
She thought of it. These were women that she liked. They had the fashion sense that she wanted. She watched The Hill. She watched Gossip Girls. So she wanted that kind of look. She, according to Nick, they started checking up on celebrity websites to see when celebs were out of town, and they became like a real little research team. They found the houses of their targets using Google Maps and a website called celebrityaddressaerial.com.
What?
The logo on this site is, you will be able to see their houses behind the tall hedges, big gates, and security systems.
Who is taking these pictures?
I don't know, but it's like, this sounds like a bad idea. You will get unprecedented access to the sort of lifestyle your favorite celebrity can't afford. Then they would drive around to these neighborhoods and kind of do reconnaissance missions, like looking to see what surveillance they had, look to see what the security was like there, and just kind of figure things out. Now, according to Nick, he and Rachel asked themselves questions like, who would leave a door unlocked? Who would have a lot of money lying around?
Okay, so they're like, which celebrity's a big dumb bitch?
Exactly.
Is that what they were doing?
According to Nick, they picked Paris Hilton as their first victim because they figured she was dumb. He also called Hilton a fair target because she didn't really contribute to society. At the time, Paris Hilton lived in something called Mulholland Estates, which is technically in Sherman Oaks, but somehow the developer managed to get a Beverly Hills zip code. There's like a few of those in LA. So it was a gated community. Nick hit the bullseye when, while using Google Maps to find her home, he saw that the gated community had like a hill that led to the development that didn't have anything to hinder their entrance. So they didn't have to go through the gated security checkpoint or whatever. So on a night in October of 2008, the duo had a few drinks and almost on impulse decided that that was the night they were going to implement their first celebrity burglary. Around midnight, they found the hill and climbed up it, easily getting inside the luxury development. They walked the streets towards Hilton House, unmasked, just like normal kids who might live there. Nothing to see here, folks. Like, they just blatantly walked around. They didn't have masks on. They didn't try to hide anything. And to be honest, I think that kind of worked to their advantage.
Right.
Like, there is something to that.
They act like they're supposed to be there.
Absolutely. Now, when they found Paris's house, they rang the doorbell, planning on acting like dipshit kids if someone answered, but nothing. Nick decided to look under the mat for a key just as a lark, and there was a key there. They couldn't believe it. Nick recalled shrugging and saying, stupid. They basically walked right into her house. They entered the key. There was no security alarm system, nothing.
Wow.
He described walking into Barbie's dream house. Now, he said that there were pictures of Paris everywhere, even in the bathroom and even silk screened onto pillows on her sofa.
You know, I don't want to see a picture of me while I'm taking a dump.
Seriously. He said the whole place was practically pink. Like, it was pink everywhere. And the whole time they were robbing her, the Chihuahuas and one Pomeranian were there scurrying about them, happy to get attention. So she just had the dogs.
Well, I was going to say, she is famous for having a lot of pets.
Yes.
That key must have been for the pet sitter.
Maybe. So all of the dogs were there. Tinkerbell, Marilyn Monroe, Prince, Baby Bear, Dolce, Prada, and Harajuku Bitch.
Oh, I remember that one. I remember that dog, yeah.
Now, this was pre their $300,000 doghouse decorated with Philippe Starck furniture that they get later on.
I remember that.
Now, Nick said he found the sensation of suddenly being in Hilton's home horrifying. There was that percentage of, wow, this is Paris Hilton's house. But as soon as I put my foot in the door, it was just like, I needed to run out. I can imagine that feeling. Like, there must have been something kind of exhilarating about it. Like,
but also, like, this is
terrifying.
This is wrong.
Because you must think you're going to get caught. Like, there's just no way security won't be coming, right?
Right.
So he says he served as the lookout at the top of the stairs while Lee went into Hilton's bedroom to search for valuables. I was sweating unnaturally. Every 5 minutes I was yelling, let's get the fuck out of here. She was like, it's fine. It's fine. Let's keep going. He remembered the moment Rachel entered the Holy Land, Paris's closet. Unfortunately, all her shoes were size 11, so Rachel couldn't take any of them, but they fit Nick, and he sort of walked around in them making jokes, but he didn't steal any of her shoes. Lee took some expensive bras, some designer dresses that night. They also took a bottle of Grey Goose from her nightclub room that she famously has, this disco ball nightclub party room. And they took all the cash they could find in all of her pockets, which ended up being $1,500 worth of cash in various purses and pockets.
I would be obviously feel really violated if someone broke into my house. But for some reason, it would feel even more violating if someone broke into my house and all my pets were there.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't do anything, I just, to have my pets have to witness that.
Yes. Now, their plan was to always take so little that no one would notice. And that's what they did. They, because they had plans to come back several more times, and they did come back to her house several more times.
I mean,
and did
I would,
the same thing.
I would be worried about like taking something like an article of clothing and then you wear it out and it's like photographed. And I mean, they're not famous, right. So they're not getting in the tabloids. But what if she saw like, hey, that's my top?
Well, they were very aware of what she was photographed in, because
yeah.
They would go in her closet and be like, that's what she wore at the MTV Movie Awards. So
right.
They kind of stayed away from her more photographed outfits.
Yeah.
They really did their research. Now, one night they went and they found cocaine. So they definitely took that.
From who?
From Paris.
Oh.
Now, he said they found about 5 grams of cocaine, and that just was like a find. And he said that they put Lil Wayne's Got Money on and hauled ass down Mole Island. Now, of course, Paris's representatives will later deny this, and they said they don't know why anyone would take the allegations made by a self-confessed thief seriously.
Also, if I was Paris Hilton, I would have way more than just 5 grams.
Absolutely.
That is not a lot of cocaine.
Now, once they were walking up their hill to get to her house, when security showed up and they had to hide in a bush for an hour as security like shined lights all around
now,
that mountain.
They went to her house multiple times?
They went to her house 5 times.
Wow.
So this is like but sometimes they'll try to go and end up aborting the trip.
Right.
Like that. So they do that a bunch too. Now, Nick described like at some point feeling like this intimacy of being in her house made him start to feel more connected to her, which upped his guilt level. Like
right.
He started seeing her more as a person, I think. At some point, I think he realized that they had both been diagnosed with ADHD, and he started feeling even worse, like that he was doing this to her. So there was another time he stole something. Like sometimes they would start stealing things that were more intimate. Like he stole Benji Madden's sneakers once and started wearing them. That was her boyfriend at the time.
Right.
It was just kind of like, why did he do that? Like, and then another time they took topless photos they found of Paris and planned to sell to the tabloids, but they had no value because Paris had already, everyone had seen her tits at that point. So no one wanted them. So that was like another bust, but it was still kind of like stealing her personal.
That's a violation.
Absolutely. Now, after a few successful robberies, Rachel recruited her friend, Diana Tamoya, into the gang, and Nick was like not that happy about it. He kind of liked that this was him and Rachel's thing, like it was their little secret, and he was apprehensive about it, but Rachel ruled the roost and Diana was invited into this group. Now, she was also a student at the same high school. She was the student body president at Indian Hills. She had been voted best smile. She also had money, and she was known for getting into fights. That was her bad behavior. According to Nick, her entire wardrobe at some point consisted of stolen items that they stole through this bling ring. And her small size was utilized during some of the burglaries, because she was able to one time get into a dog door to open up the house.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Nick definitely started feeling more anxious when the group grew, and for good reason. It's like the more you start letting other people in, it just always fucking becomes a disaster. Now, he also said that it kind of created more of a party atmosphere, like because another girl gets invited into the mix, and her name is Courtney Ames. Nick liked her, but it was like he just did not want more people into this group. He also didn't understand why Courtney wanted to be there, because she was not a glamour girl like the other two. She was more of a tomboy style. And so like the first robbery she went on, she stole Paris's Diane von Furstenberg leather jacket. Like that's what she wanted. Rachel even brought an ex-boyfriend once on one of the burglaries. He would eventually be busted with the jewelry that Paris Hilton recognized as hers, but was never charged with anything, probably because he was a minor at the time. So he's never considered part of this group. Now, it did become more of a party atmosphere. Nick was definitely fluctuating between paranoia and euphoria. Like, he was scared, but then afterwards he would always feel like this huge high. According to Courtney Ames, at one point, I mentioned this, that he did try on Hilton's, he would do like dances around the house in her high heel shoes. He does deny that happened, but Nick would also, he would also monitor TMZ religiously to see if Paris had reported anything.
Oh.
So they were always looking for her to see like if she ever knew. And she was not like reporting anything. Nothing was coming out, which I think has its own sense of paranoia. Like something must be going on.
Right.
Then Courtney brought a new person into the group, and that was 27-year-old Roy Lopez. Now, he joined the group for what would be the final Hilton burglary on December 19th, 2008. He and Courtney Ames had worked together at the Sagebrush Cantina in Calabasas. Roy was a bartender there, and he would serve the teens drinks on the house. Cool dude. You know, he's 27 serving teens alcohol, the hero.
Look, we loved that guy.
Absolutely.
When we were teens.
Now we know he's not cool.
No.
So he started overhearing these guys bragging about these things. These people were not quiet about their crimes. Another no-no. He finally suggests to them that they go for a bigger haul. They often spoke about Hilton's jewelry, that she had her own personal Tiffany's. Like, she had a whole closet with all of her jewelry in it. And they never touched that because they were keeping it low key. Now, Roy said he could commit the theft for them, so they didn't have to go in and worry about stealing the jewelry. He would do it. And then he had a fence to sell the jewels to, and they could split the cut, possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars each. So he said in exchange for his doing the job, that Nick would plan the burglary for him and give him all the information and like where to turn and what to do. And then that would be like how they earned their cut. And they agreed. So on that night, December 19th, Hilton leaves her home at 10:30 p.m. She was gone for 3 to 4 hours partying at Bar Deluxe in Hollywood. She said she didn't turn her alarm on because she felt safe in her gated community. When she returned about 2 to 3 a.m. that night, she immediately noticed something was off. Roy was not as conspicuous as the others had been. Dirty shoe marks were going up the stairs and across the bedroom on her black carpet, which is insane. I have no idea why she had black carpet. But like a video also showed a man about 6 feet tall in black carrying out a Louis Vuitton bag that was literally stuffed to the gills with $2 million worth of jewelry. Now, on this video, you can see the jewels like coming out and they're in like a tangled mess because he literally just scooped up all this jewelry and shoved it in the bag. Like, he wasn't delicately like placing it and stuff like that in a bag. He was just shut. Like, her closet was ransacked. So it was very obvious she got robbed. Now, this time Paris calls the police. Nick sees it all over the gossip sites. Like, there's headlines that Paris is, I'm sure there were like puns too, like Paris is Hilton plundered, like whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? It was a big news story.
Now, you said that there was video of this guy.
Yes.
So, but she didn't have video before?
Well, she did, but if she didn't think she was robbed, she wouldn't check the video.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because I think that surveillance camera, it goes on a loop. So if you don't
right.
think you're robbed, it's like covered up at some point.
Right.
So this time she looked immediately and was able to see it. Although they don't care about surveillance, and we'll get more into that later. So as I said, it's all over the news now. Nick calls up Roy and he's like, hey, like, great job. Like, and he's excited about getting his cut. Unfortunately, Roy stole mostly costume jewelry, and all of the very expensive stuff he stole was so rare and easily identified that they weren't able to sell it at that time. So he told Nick that they'd have to keep it sort of in a warehouse in Arizona until things cooled down. Like, he's stealing jewelry that was in her family for generations.
Right.
Like, these are old jewels that are very highly recognizable and probably famous in some ways, or
right.
sold on auction, etc. So you can't just sell them in a pawn shop. Rachel would eventually carry the key they found at Paris Hilton's house on her own key ring as a souvenir. They also considered robbing Jessica Simpson, as we mentioned earlier, but they decided not to because Rachel said her purses weren't real leather.
Oh. What?
I know, it's like, how do you know that? But also, that's such a slam for some reason on poor Jessica Simpson. Like,
I mean, I feel like Jessica Simpson famously carried those Louis Vuitton purses all the time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But maybe they didn't like her fashion line, which was definitely more low budget, probably.
Yeah.
But she probably didn't use it herself.
I don't think Jessica Simpson exclusively carried her own bags.
I know. I was like, well, did she have a vegan moment or something like that?
No.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Not only did they help me find and cancel some of my unwanted subscriptions, in general, they've given me a great picture of my financial status and helped me save money. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love the dashboard that shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. That's rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene.
Now, obviously, this put like a little, they kind of cooled it down a bit after this big Paris Hilton thing because it was so hot. But they didn't stop committing crimes 100%. They just stopped the celebrity crimes temporarily. They were still robbing local cars and houses to keep things going. They also robbed a huge Encino mansion at some point in January, and they stole new computers, and that's what they used to start stalking their next celebrity victim. So they got some high-tech equipment to keep going on, and they picked their next one, and that would be another style icon of Rachel's, Audrina Partridge from The Hills.
She was a style
now,
icon?
Now, according to Nick, obviously, she's not as high fashion as Paris, but she epitomized the rich SoCal beach girl look that was sexy and cool, and Rachel liked it. I don't know. I mean, I don't remember Audrina's style or even having a style particularly. Now, they decide on hitting her place February 22nd, 2009, because it was Oscar night, and anyone who was anyone would be out party hopping at celeb-filled parties. They were easily able to find her Oscar plans online. You could basically just Google and see who was going to what party. It makes you realize how you should not put any information online ever.
Oh, my God.
So he went to her house. They went to her house, which was in the Hollywood Hills. They parked down the street from her million-dollar home that she had just purchased with her Carl's Jr. ad money, where she's eating a burger in a bikini.
She did?
She did one of those, I guess. Yes.
I don't even remember.
Do you remember those ads where it was like, slow ride?
Yeah. Here's the thing about Carl's Jr. commercials. I will say, when they were doing all that great Foley work with the crunching of the burger,
yeah,
that was kind of delectable.
They're horny commercials, food-wise, even.
It wasn't even about that the commercials were horny. It was about all that burger noise was tempting to me.
Yeah, it was tempting. Now, once again, they walk up openly, no masks. Audrina had not turned on her alarm, and they found an unlocked sliding glass door around the back. They basically just walked right in once again. They actually, when the door opened, she had some system set up that it's like, door open. And they ran away because they got scared, but then no police showed up. So they're like, oh, okay, let's go back.
It's like if the person's there.
Yeah, like it just gives you a notification that the door opened.
It's scary enough breaking into someone's house, but I feel like the stakes are so much higher when the person's not even out of town. They're just at a party.
Yeah.
Like what if they come home early?
I mean,
you don't know.
You have no idea. Someone could be mean to her at an Oscar party. She comes home in tears.
Exactly.
What's his name? Justin Bobby might show up. Wait, he's making out with one of the girls from Hugh Hefner's TV show.
Right, Holly.
The Girls Next Door. Is that what it was called? Fucking Justin Bobby. Dude, you have no idea how much I hate Justin Bobby.
I know who he is because like I read all the tabloids during that era. I know who Justin Bobby is. Was he the guy with the knit beanie?
The longish hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was like kind of the like, I'm the like artsy guy.
Yes. But he's like a fuck boy.
Yeah. And he had like a really deep V-neck.
Just the name killed me.
Fuck
no
you.
One puts that combination together. I'm sorry.
No.
So they go into Audrina's house. Once again, they're just like looking around. Rachel even poses for the surveillance camera, like, not looking directly in it, but kind of like, hey, you know, like that kind of stuff. Just like completely like confident that they're not going to get busted. Now, the camera like even sees them inside the house. So they watch them go up the stairs. Rachel comes down wearing a white fedora, like one of Audrina's white fedoras. I guess she had been famous for wearing. And she had come back from a trip recently. So she had all her luggage in her bedroom and they just basically filled up all of her luggage with stuff they were stealing and took it out of the house. Ugh. And that was the first time they were like, hey, we should just use their luggage to steal stuff for. That was like where that idea came. And they do it several more times. Now, when she returned though, the fact that they used her luggage was the first sign that she had that something was wrong. Cause she was like, where's my luggage?
Right.
And she's like, am I such a dipshit that I left it in the car? Like she actually went to check her car, which was probably what I would do. Like, oh, maybe I left it in my car. Like who the hell knows? So she also then saw lines from pulling the bag on her carpet. I don't know why all these people have carpet in their bedrooms, but they do. So she could see the luggage wheels. Then she checked her jewelry area or whatever, and that was all gone. So she checked her security camera and saw these two people leaving with suitcases and coming back for a second round. So they took stuff and then they're like, you know what? Let's go back for more. So according to Audrina, they took bags and bags of stuff. They took my great grandma's jewelry, my passport, my laptop. And this is my favorite thing that she pointed out and was very upset about, and jeans made to fit my body to my perfect shape. These were custom-made jeans that Audrina was very upset about that they took them.
Look, jeans are hard to find good ones.
You know what? I felt it. I was like, yeah, I get it. Like, if I had jeans made for my body, that would be insane. Now, the estimated value of the stolen property was $43,000. Partridge believes that these were motivated by her fame. Rachel Lee was a big fan of me. I was her target. She's a little obsessed girl. I gotta tell ya, she's going to get what she deserves. Audrina's not happy. She's pissed off about this. Now, to be fair, she was scared. Like, these people are scared. Like, she had her brother come live with her for, like, weeks after this robbery happened. And it's like, these kids have no qualms about fucking with these people's sense of safety. Like, that's scary if your house gets robbed. It must be really hard to live there after that happens.
Right.
So I do feel for her, even though she's not my favorite Hills cast member. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, who is your favorite?
I like Lauren.
I like Lauren too.
She's like the most, she's like the me, cause I'm like, she's like the reasonable sort of most down to earth one, but I don't really relate to any of them. Like she's also crazy, but yeah, I like her the most.
I mean, I liked her on Laguna Beach.
I also liked, Lo a bit.
I liked Lo.
She's a little bit more crazy.
Yeah.
So I liked her.
I thought she was funny.
Yeah, she is funny.
Like, she
she's
like
the funny one.
She'd be fun to hang out with.
Absolutely. She's probably the one I would want to hang out with.
Yeah.
For sure. But I was never like a Heidi stan. I didn't like Heidi and Spencer at all. Come on.
That was a mess.
Just a total mess. I mean, she's the one that makes you uncomfortable because you're like, oh, like, don't be so desperate for people to like you. It's just like cringe, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway. Now, Partridge uploads the video that she gets, the surveillance video, to her website, like literally AudrinaPartridge.com.
Wow. Because
she's like, hey, fans, do you guys know who these people are? Because they're on her camera, so she's hoping people will recognize her. This download or whatever upload gets picked up by KTLA, the local news caster or whatever news
outlet,
and TMZ picks it up as well. So like, hey, let's help catch Audrina's robber. Now, this is the first time Nick says he realized their actions might have consequences.
Oh.
I was like, really? Like, this is the first time you've literally been having like stress diarrhea the whole time.
Wait, he had stress diarrhea?
I mean, he's having, no, like, I'm just joking. Like, he's so stressed though all the time. I know I'm going to get sued. Allegedly. He said, I was watching KTLA and I saw us and I just broke down. Rachel was like, it's okay. When nothing happened, they felt even more emboldened.
Whatever like Rachel's level of calm is.
Dude, we all need like 10% of that.
I wish I had even a fraction of that.
It's crazy.
As a highly anxious person.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know how they could do it. Now, after taking a little bit more time off after this Audrina robbery, Rachel and Nick pick their next victim, and that is another one of Rachel's style icons, Rachel Bilson. Now, she was a huge fan of the OC, and Rachel's character on that is kind of like a little OC fashionista, it makes sense. And in Rachel, in real life, she's definitely a fashionable, she had a lot of vintage, like she had a cool style for sure. Now, Nick began making a plan to invade her Los Feliz home in late April. They wound up breaking into her house 5 times because she was in New York filming something. Diana joins them and is in designer clothes heaven. Rachel also had a vintage shoe collection, but was a size 5, too small for both of the girls. But Rachel wanted them anyway, and she stole a lot of these shoes just to have these
That's
in her collection.
Mean.
She also stole Chanel makeup and underwear. According to Nick, they didn't just take things during their house calls. Rachel Lee left something of her own at Rachel Bilson's house before she walked out with perfume, jewelry, and underwear, makeup, and handbags. He says, quote, we were in Rachel Bilson's bathroom and Rachel said she had to go. So she just, yeah, I remember the incident so well. I can recall the smell, which is really nasty, disgusting. I know I would never like while you're there robbing a house, you have to rush. Like I've had to pee when I've been in there, but I never would use their bathroom and just in fear that something maybe evidence wise would be left behind. I think that's weird personally, but yeah, she did. She took a shit in Rachel Bilson's bathroom and left it in the toilet.
Wait, she didn't even flush?
No.
Desi.
Isn't that vulgar?
I would move.
I was like, my shoes was one thing.
Right. No, if I found out that someone broke into my house and took a shit.
It's so nervy. Like, that is the height of confidence to take a big shit mid-robbery. Like, how do you do that?
Dude, most people.
I can't even shit in someone's house.
That's like, what I'm saying. Most people can't even take a shit in some place that isn't their home.
It's crazy. Okay. So they go back, as I said, like three to six more times. Like sometimes we don't even know how many times they went because we only catch, like, do you know what I mean? Like they're not telling us things.
Right.
And Rachel wasn't reporting them as they happened.
She didn't know until.
She didn't know the exact number. But I think they went 4 to 6 times total. So they stole somewhere between $130,000 and $300,000 worth of stuff. That's the other thing. A lot of times these celebrities don't even know everything they had because they get so much free shit.
Right.
And they just can't keep track of it all. Now, they had so much stuff from Rachel Bilson that they didn't even know what to do with it. And they would get a kiosk at the Venice Beach Boardwalk and sell purses for $50 each. So these were designer purses that were probably worth way more money. And they would make thousands of dollars just selling these fucking purses to make cash. These series of robberies were also the first ones that Tess Taylor joined in on. Nick offered her the chance to upgrade her wardrobe and she jumped at it. Shortly after their last robbery, Rachel, who was out of town during these burglaries, got a call from her mom that her home had been burglarized. And so she was devastated. Once again, she did not set her alarm when she left town. So her house was just fucking open for anyone to walk into. Now, during all of this, they're living up the high life in Hollywood. They're fucking going out. They're wearing all their new fucking hot clothes and jewelry, and they have all this money on them. Nick said, all you needed was money. And like me and Rachel had money so we could get in anywhere. That's all you needed was the money and the right look to get into these Hollywood clubs. And we weren't ugly, so we had that too. Now, around this time, the Bling Ring was going out in these clothes. And their favorite spot to go party was a French-themed nightclub in Hollywood called Ledoux.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, Desi, the only thing that would make this more cliche is if they went to Ledoux. Now, look, yes. I've been to Ledoux.
Wait, what is the French theme? Like,
it's not, I wouldn't call it a, I don't, look, okay. I went to Ledoux during peak Ledoux years, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's not for me.
No. Well, okay, so here's what I know. Apparently they had like a restaurant section where you could go when you were underage, and that was somehow attached to the bar area that you had to be over 21 to get into.
Yeah.
Now, obviously it's very easy for kids like that to sneak over. I remember doing it at clubs like that were all ages. Like,
right.
It's easy, especially because Courtney Ames' boyfriend, Johnny Ahar, AKA Johnny Dangerous, worked at the club as a promoter. Now, they first met at another nightclub called The Green Door that these kids used to go to with fake ID. So they met this promoter. Did you go to Green Door too?
Oh, yeah. I liked Green Door.
Okay. So now Johnny Dangerous or Ahar, like in the film, these party people are presented as like coke snorting, smoking crack sometimes in the movie, that they looked really cool and like way older than they were. But Johnny Ahar, this guy, the promoter, I think he was also a bouncer sometimes, he was like, no, that's not quite, they weren't quite as suave as they're portrayed in the movie. He also eventually will become another sort of middleman for them to fence stolen goods, but that's a little bit later. He said to this author, Nancy Jo Sales, I did not want to be involved. They were spending all their money from the crimes on bottle service at the clubs. It just wasn't my thing. They were at every hot club in the city. They drank horribly. Courtney, I tried to tell her, you can't act like that. Nick would blow chunks all over the place. Like, ordering bottle service is insane. I'm sorry. Look, it's such a waste of money.
Bottle service is like, what, at least $1,000?
I don't even know how much it is because I've never done it, but it's like,
it's
crazy. So that's what they were doing. They were going, they couldn't hold their liquor, but they were living it up as if they were fucking Entourage. Now, Nick at the time is also straddling two groups of friends. There's Courtney, Rachel, and Diana, and Tess, Taylor, Alexis, and her sister, Gabrielle, who's younger and doesn't quite go as much, but she's sort of in that other group. These two cliques did not love each other. As I mentioned earlier, Courtney was kind of a tomboy style, and over the course of the robbery, she really hoed it. She started hoeing it up and trying to be more stylish, but she just didn't have it in her, really. So she was sort of mocked a lot by the other girl. She was once photographed out wearing both leopard and zebra prints at the same time, and they were just like mocking her mercilessly. They also made up a song about her to the tune of Ray J's Sexy Can I? Do you know the song?
I do. Do you want me to read it?
Well, there's not much to read, but obviously you would say this song describes a man who was desperate to sleep with someone, like a hot chick, right? Or something.
Sexy Can I?
So they changed the lyrics to Courtney, Can I? And she would get really upset, I guess because it's like a desperate guy and they thought she was desperate. She was just the one they picked on. Another thing they did to her later, like after all the shit hits the fan, is Courtney apparently didn't have a sense of smell and they would use that to prank her. And one of the things they did after everyone was getting arrested is they put a can of tuna in her car. So everything in the car, including her, would smell like tuna and she wouldn't even know that she was walking around. I know, isn't that mean? Now, the crew's next celebrity target was another one that Rachel wanted to be like, and that is Victoria's Secret model and face of their new younger line for women called Pink, Miranda Kerr. She at the time was dating actor Orlando Bloom, and according to Nick, Rachel was like, you steal a lingerie model's lingerie, and then you're a hot lingerie model. Like, that's how she thought. Like, if I got all her clothes, I'll end up with a hot guy like Orlando Bloom as well. This is the robbery where Alexis Nears finally joins in. Now, Alexa will later tell investigators that she and Nick Prugo had been drinking at Beso.
Oh my God, Beso.
I know, isn't this the most 2000s story ever? Which was a trendy bar and restaurant on Hollywood Boulevard.
Wait, didn't like somebody own it?
Ava Longoria?
Ava Longoria owned this club.
Okay, this was a big, like a Mexican sort of fusion type restaurant. I never went to it. Now, Prugo says that he got a call from Rachel telling them to come meet her. It was July 13th, 2009. Alexa said she knew that Prugo and Lee had been burglarizing celebrities' homes, and she knew all the names, but she wasn't sure what was up that night. She, at the time, is 18 years old. She said she was drunk and not sure what was going on as they parked Nick's white Toyota on the road outside a house in the Hollywood Hills. Later, she would find out that it was the home of Pirates of the Caribbean star Orlando Bloom. Her friends knew that Bloom was in New York shooting a movie. Now, Alexis says that Lee and another girl, Diana Tamayo, who was 19 at the time, got out of a white Audi 4 that was also parked on on the street, and the four of them walked up the hill to Bloom's residence, a stark black mansion. She said that she didn't want to go inside, but still she followed. She later told police that the other three seemed to be covering their faces with their hoodies to escape the security camera. And at some point, Rachel cuts out a section of the chain link fence, and that's how they get into the property. They crawl through this hole. They went around the house at that point, checking windows and doors, finally finding an unlocked door by Bloom's pool area. They went inside and they just started ransacking his home, according to Alexis. That night, they would allegedly steal close to $500,000 in Rolex watches, Louis Vuitton luggage, clothing, and artwork, as well as a rug. "What are you doing? Get me the fuck out of here," Alexa said she was screaming at them. She said she was so upset that she went outside and threw up and peed in the bushes. Now, Nick has a slightly different version of what happened that night. He said, "We didn't even go to Beso that night." He said that they were at his house because his parents were out of town. Alexis's mom had kicked her out of the house, so she had been staying at Nick's place for like a week or so. And she said that the reason Alexis got kicked out is her parents caught her smoking OxyContin. Now, she denies this, although she does go into rehab later and does have a drug problem later, so who knows who's telling the truth here. "We planned to meet at Orlando Bloom." So he's saying that Alexis was in on it the whole time, whereas she's kind of saying, "I didn't know what was going on. I was drunk at Beso and just went along with it." They met up. They went into the house. He says that what proves that they were all in on it is when they walked up the hill to his house, they walked up backwards so the security cameras couldn't see their faces. And Alexis also walked up backwards. So she definitely knew that they were avoiding cameras and seemed to be in on the plan. Now, he says, you know, yeah, he basically is like, how would a drunk person walk up backwards even? Like, she was not wasted. Now, whenever they robbed celebrities' homes, Prugo said that their new style was grabbing a suitcase, filling it up with whatever you wanted. And at some point, Rachel finds, like, she goes behind like a one of those like trap doors in like a bookshelf and finds this collection of Rolex watches. Now, these are like very valuable, and he collects them, and he has one that's like 60 years old that's worth, you know, it's like a rare watch. So these are, like I said, worth $500,000, just these Rolex watches. They also find some one-of-a-kind fashion because Miranda Kerr is a model. There's a dress by Alex Perry, so it's like a one-of-a-kind runway dress that they steal as well. In total, everything is well over $500,000 just because the watches alone are that much money. Now, at some point, they leave. And once again, this is a house that they go back to 3 to 4 times to get more stuff. Like, they're just going back and loading up. During this robbery, Rachel lets it slip that she needs art and a rug because she's moving with her dad to Vegas and wants stuff to decorate her new house with. So she steals a fucking rug from Orlando Bloom as well as artwork like off of his wall.
How big is this rug?
I have no idea, but it's comical to think of this guy helping his friend, like, being so in love that you roll a fucking rug and look like you're probably carrying a fucking dead body on the surveillance video. So this goes on for over 3 hours. They're robbing this house. And as I said, going in and out several times. The next day, someone happens to go to Bloom's house to pick something up. and is like, hey, your house got fucking burglarized because they ransacked this house. This is, they're no longer doing the steal a few things and make it look like nothing happened. His house is trashed. Now, he's really upset. And one of the reasons he's extra upset is because they found those Rolexes and he knew it was in this secret compartment. So he was like, only two people know about this compartment. So he's like, did my, someone I know fucking do this? Or right. did my housekeeper do this? Like, he has no idea. So that makes it extra scary for them. Now, around this time, there's fights starting to fracture the group. Nick, like Alexa staying with Nick caused Tess, her kind of adopted sister, like she's, this Tess is not her biological sister, but she's lived with the family since she's 2 years old. So they start having a fallout because Tess like, Nick is my friend. And why are you hanging out with Alexis, my sister? It's like that kind of thing. The group is just unraveling. But despite that, they keep plugging along. They continue conducting surveillance on other targets, including Miley Cyrus, Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens. Meanwhile, Nick says he's becoming increasingly nervous about their activities, just like constantly anxious. And, you know, Rachel Lee is now moving with her father in Vegas. And Nick is like, what's going on with that? Like, he's like, I know you fight with your mom, but like, who cares? Like, move in with me or whatever. He doesn't get why she's doing it.
So is she like, I'm getting out of the game?
Well, basically that's what she's doing. And what Nick doesn't know is that like that week or something, Diana and Rachel had been busted shoplifting $80 worth of stuff at Sephora.
Come on.
Yes.
That's what you get busted for?
They got busted for that. And now she's nervous because she's in the system. So she's like, I can't keep robbing. Like, why would you rob when you have Chanel makeup? Like, you're going to Sephora? They steal makeup all the time. Like, what the fuck? So they have like a going away party for Rachel at Ledoux. Nick helps her move, driving through the desert with her car full of all the stolen property, the paintings, the rug. So now he's like moving stolen goods across state lines, like a felony. So that's that. He doesn't even know that's a crime. They basically party in Vegas for a week before he heads back to LA. Now, Nick didn't know this at the time, but Rachel would be coming back for a shoplifting hearing in August. And it would be then that they commit their biggest hit yet, the ultimate get for Rachel, the home of Lindsay Lohan. So that's where we're going to stop this week. Next week, we have the end of their crime spree, their capture. We're going to watch all these monsters turn on each other. And we're going to go into a deep dive on Alexis Nerez, her reality show, and her feud with Nancy Jo Sales, the author of the book that's still going on to this day, by the way.
This is an incredible feud.
It's so good. I was like, when I was starting reading all the stuff about the feud, I was like, I can't fit this all into one episode. There's no fucking way. Because this stuff is hilarious.
Just the quotes alone.
Her quote, like I had to cut out this huge section with this interview with Alexis because it was so funny. I didn't know what to cut. I was in tears laughing. So I cannot wait. Maybe we can get Rachel to do a dramatic reading of this iconic interview she does with Nancy Jo Sales, where she just says some of the most off the wall things ever. I mean, she is a narcissist. There's like this whole chapter on Alexis and the next, you know, in nonfiction writing, they're like, da 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 da, this is a personal story. And then they start off, in 1984, the book, The Narcissist. Like, there's this cut where she starts talking about this, like, book about narcissism that came out in the 80s.
Amazing.
But it was, like, the best cut ever. I was like, yeah, that's about right. Like,
okay, we'll plan a dramatic reading.
Okay. Maybe. So next week's going to be super fun. There's a lot of crazy stuff still
this
coming.
This was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I had a blast. Okay, well, we will see you all on Friday.
And we'll have some good pictures, I'm sure.
We will have some great pictures.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.